Meine Damen und Herren.
Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to our conference call of BMW AG Interim Report 2012. As always, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichner, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG, responsible for finance, will give you a short overview of the business development, and then you have an opportunity to ask your questions. I now pass the floor to Dr. Reithofer. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. BMW Group continues its success story. We continue to achieve our profitable growth. We are working hard to meet the challenges of our industry, and we're making great progress in developing the mobility of the future. We had a strong second quarter with new record performance. In terms of sales, it was the strongest quarter in the history of the BMW Group, more than 475 units sold. In terms of revenues, it was the strongest quarter in the history of the BMW Group, 19.2 billion euros. The group EBIT was again at more than 2 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment was 11.6%, meaning we are still highly profitable. We deliver on our promises. This is what our customers expect, and this is what all other BMW Group stakeholders expect. We continue to benefit from our strategy number one, our strong brands, and our attractive products and services. According to a study carried out by the Reputation Institute, the BMW Group is worldwide the most reputable company ahead of Google and Apple. The annual survey carried out by Millward Brown Consultants confirmed that BMW is the most valuable automotive brand in the world. At the Automobile Forum in Stuttgart, we received the OEM of the Future Award as the most future-oriented automobile company in the world. There continues to be strong demand for our models, the BMW 1 Series and the X1, the new BMW 3 Series Sedan and the 3 Series Convertible, the BMW 5 Series and the X5. The BMW 6 Series with the recently launched 6 Series Grand Coupe, and they are all leaders in their market segments. This is proof of the design, efficiency, and substance of our vehicles. In the first half of the year, we sold over 900,000 BMW, Mini, and Rolls-Royce cars. This, too, is a new record in the history of the company. But more than anything else, all these achievements are built on a strong financial foundation. This gives us the confidence and leeway to make the necessary investments, future growth, and profitable growth in the future. Automotive markets worldwide are becoming ever more heterogeneous. We had double-digit growth in the first half of the year in many growth markets, as well as in the large Asian regions in North and Central America. However, in Europe, consumers are growing more hesitant. The automotive market is also experiencing the impact of sovereign debt crisis and the euro crisis. Despite difficult prevailing conditions, our sales in Europe remain on the same level as last year. However, in some European countries, we too have sold considerably fewer vehicles in 2012 than in the previous year. Here, we have been affected by the tough conditions. In spite of these challenges, we stand behind Europe. Europe is the largest sales market for our company. We sell almost half of our vehicles here. It is the home to all of our brands, BMW, Mini, and Rolls-Royce, as well as Husqvarna. We see no alternative to a common Europe with a single currency area. The euro has generated growth, employment, and prosperity in this country. It has considerably strengthened the role of Europe as an economic power. For this reason, we continue to call for decisive action on the part of the member states, as well as long-term policies that strike a sensible balance between austerity and growth. We also expect the markets to remain volatile. This is because in other regions of the world, too, there's significant dampening of growth. Competition is becoming tougher. Risks are increasing rather than decreasing. How are we responding to these challenges? With flexibility and foresight in all our actions. We monitor developments on the markets very closely and adapt our production volumes as needed. This supports our competitiveness and increases the attractiveness of our brands. For us, profitable growth takes priority. Our lean structures and flexible processes equip us well for future fluctuations. In addition, we continue to strive for a balanced distribution in global sales. In the first half of 2012, the share of sales in our largest individual markets, Germany, the US, and China, was all about equal. In absolute terms, China and the U.S. were the strongest markets. The premium segment in China should continue to offer good growth opportunities in the future. This is why we are expanding our activities there. At the end of May, we opened a second plant in Tiji together with our partner Brilliance China Automotive. Depending on demand, we can produce up to 400,000 units at the Shenyang site in the medium term. With the new BMW X1 and the long wheelbase version of the new BMW 3 Series Sedan, two real firsts for China are rolling off the production line in Tiji. Together with Brilliance, we will also be upgrading our engine production in China. The current engine production facility will be relocated to a new site next to Tiji vehicle plant and developed to achieve a capacity of up to 400 units a year in the midterm. But North America also remains a high potential market thanks to its positive demographic. For this reason, we are expanding our capacity at Spartanburg. And furthermore, this autumn, we'll be launching the new BMW 3 Series with xDrive and the BMW X1. Those vehicles will bring additional momentum. And this is what our customers worldwide can expect for the rest of 2012. The new BMW 1 Series 3-door for the first time with xDrive, the new BMW 3 Series Touring and the Active Hybrid 3, the revised BMW X1, our flagship, the new BMW 7 Series, the new BMW M6 Coupe, then for the Mini brand, the special edition Mini Clubman, and for Rolls-Royce, the Phantom 2 Series. Backed by all of these initiatives, we remain confident that we will achieve our targets for the 2012 financial year. At the same time, we're already looking far into the future. 2016, we aim to sell over 2 million vehicles. To achieve this, ladies and gentlemen, we are now creating the preconditions. To grow the Mini brand, we're further expanding our UK locations in Oxford, Swindon and Hamshall. The planned investments through to 2015 will increase to a total of £715 million. This makes it very clear that the UK will remain the heart of the Mini brand in the long term. In addition, we are in negotiations with the Dutch automotive manufacturer Netcar regarding future production. Our aim is to create more capacity while retaining high levels of flexibility and attractive production costs. Ladies and gentlemen, politics currently influence the automotive industry more than almost any other industrial sector. The current EU Commission proposal envisages a reduction in average CO2 emissions from new vehicles to 95 grams per kilometer by 2020. This is a huge challenge. Similar stipulations have been made for China and the US. BMW Group vehicles in Europe today emit an average of 145 grams of CO2 per kilometer. That's 30% less than in 1995. That means we have done more than most other manufacturers. In spite of this, the reductions we and the entire industry now face are formidable. They require massive investment in new technologies. It is the greatest challenge the automotive industry has ever faced. We accept the challenge and continue to set ourselves high targets. By 2020, we plan to have the CO2 emissions of our worldwide vehicle fleet compared to the mid-1990s. To do this, we're taking two parallel approaches, evolution and revolution. The combustion engine will remain the dominating drive for the foreseeable future. Therefore, we will continue to develop it further. With efficient dynamics, we are making our engines even more fuel efficient while lowering emissions. This is evolution. But there's another thing that's certain. We need further technologies for the targets set both by ourselves and by environmental policies. Technologies such as plug-in hybrids and e-cars. For us, these efforts also include sustainable production, the use of new materials and innovative mobility services. All this is revolution. At the end of 2013, our BMW i models will go into series production. Both vehicles, the i3 and the i8, will give an innovative face to the vehicle of the future. These are tailor-made electric drive vehicles. We manufacture both models here in Germany. The main production of these vehicles will occur at our Leipzig plant, and the carbon parts for the body and important components for the electric drive will be produced at the Dingolfing and Landshut plants. There are two reasons that drove us to make this decision. First, we can leverage and continue to develop our employees and many years of expertise. And second, we're making our contribution as a car maker towards Germany becoming the global leader and worldwide driver of electric mobility. The automobile was invented in Germany. Many innovations led to its further development in Germany as well. It was the German premium car companies, more than anyone else, that made driving more modern, efficient and safe. Today, made in Germany is the seal of quality all over the world. It stands for engineering, craftsmanship, reliability and innovation, and customers are willing to pay a higher price for this. We need to defend this leading position, because Germany's advancement as a location for technology and innovation is mainly driven by those that create and produce four wheels. To do this, we need the right prevailing conditions, incentives and stimulus, especially in the initial phase. Helping electric mobility to make its breakthrough, this is and remains a joint effort. If we manage to make Germany a pioneer in electric mobility, everyone will benefit. The companies involved, Germany as a business location, and the people who live and work in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the challenges our sector faces are truly complex. It would not make sense to try and do it all alone. This is why we cooperate with strong partners. Since March, we have been collaborating with Toyota Motor Corporation to carry out fundamental research into lithium-ion battery technology. Both companies are innovation leaders. Both companies set standards in terms of sustainable mobility. In the future, we intend to collaborate even more closely. A memorandum of understanding has it laid out in the areas of interest to develop powertrain electrification, develop fuel cells, carry out research in lightweight technologies or future vehicle architectures. Leading individual mobility into a new age is a task both exciting and challenging. We strive to fulfill this task in a highly volatile environment. This requires all of our innovative energy. It requires initiative, stamina, and discipline. It is a challenge similar to running a marathon, and you can't win a marathon by simply sprinting the last few meters. This is why we continue to work for profitable growth. This is why we're setting the course today for mobility tomorrow, and this is why we're responsible and sustainable in our actions. This is our way. This is the BMW way. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Now, Dr. Friedrich Eichener, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I also bid you a good morning. The BMW Group has had a successful second quarter as we continue to prepare for the future, and our profitability remains high. For the first time, we generated revenues of more than 19.2 billion euros at group level in the quarter. Our quarterly earnings before taxes totaled 1.98 billion euros and were therefore lower than the same quarter last year, which also included one-off effects in the amount of 464 million euros. The first half of 2012 has been our best ever so far with respect to sales, revenues, and adjusted for one-off effects, even with respect to earnings. The BMW Group continues on its track. In the first half of 2012, we hired new staff. We are building up core expertise in our automotive segment in the key future areas of lightweight construction and alternative drivetrains. Now let's turn to the automotive segment. We reported record deliveries of 475,000 vehicles in the second quarter. That growth was driven mainly by the new BMW 1 Series and the new 3 Series sedan, but also our X3 and X5, the 5 Series, and the 6 Series models were well received by our customers. Our sales continued to develop positively worldwide. The growth came chiefly from our largest single markets, China and the United States, but also from many emerging markets in Asia, Central and South America. On one hand, the economic situation in Europe has further declined. Our year-on-year sales are lower in a number of European markets. Like our peers, we are facing more competition in those countries as well. Our sales worldwide rose by 5.4%. Thanks to higher unit sales, our segment revenues exceeded 17 billion euros for the first time. Volume growth and currency effects also had a positive impact on our segment earnings. We achieved an EBIT in the automotive segment of 2.02 billion euros in the second quarter. Our profitability remains high. both for the quarter and the half year, it was 11.6%. As previously announced, we also made upfront investments in future projects in new technologies and the development of new business fields that will contribute to value creation over the long term. We need these investments in lightweight construction, alternative drivetrains and mobility services to maintain our leading position going forward. We are also systematically preparing the BMW Group to face changing mobility requirements and stricter CO2 regulations. Over the year, we will spend around 1 billion euros of additional future investments in these areas. The segment generated a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of 2.5 billion euros in the first 6 months. We expect this positive trend to continue throughout the rest of the year. We are still aiming for a free cash flow of more than 3 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, our financial services segment continues on its growth track. Financial services profited from our sales growth in the second quarter. The segment is still reaping the benefits of the more careful residual values we set in previous years and the lower volume of off-lease vehicles. More than 346,000 leasing and financing contracts with retail customers were concluded in the second quarter. This represents a year-on-year increase of 10%. The main gains were in the Europe, Middle East, and Asia-Pacific regions. The growth in Europe is mainly due to the acquisition of ING Car Lease. At the end of the second quarter, the total number of contracts in place had reached 3.69 million, and this also includes ING Car Lease contracts. Our fleet management company, Alphabet, pushed ahead with the integration of ING Car Lease. The process has now been completed in a number of European markets, such as the Netherlands, Spain, and Belgium. Alphabet continues to expand its market position. This subsidiary is now the fourth largest European fleet management company. The BMW Group once again had access to attractive financing conditions on the international finance markets. And this also benefited our financial services business. Financial services generated a pre-tax profit of 431 million euros in the second quarter. This includes a positive one-off effect of 35 million euros from end-of-lease business. Year-on-year earnings were lower overall because of the one-off effect of 379 million euros we reported last year. However, adjusted for this one-off effect, segment earnings were around 10% higher than last year. The financial services segment provided leasing or financing for 38.7% of new BMW Group vehicles in the second quarter. This rate is slightly lower than last year. This is due to China's rapid growing market and the fact that the penetration rate is still relatively low in China. The risk situation remained largely unchanged in the second quarter. As expected, credit risks were stable, although the situation in Southern Europe is still difficult. We do not expect to see any improvement in this area in the short term. In addition, the residual value of our off-lease vehicles remained stable in the second quarter. Used car prices have weakened somewhat in a number of European markets, especially in Southern Europe. We also expect to see a more volatile and more uneven market performance in the second half of the year. Residual value losses. Let's move on to our motorcycles segment. We delivered more than 37,000 BMW and Husqvarna motorcycles to customers in the second quarter. Sales volumes were lower than last year, owing to market developments in Southern Europe. We did, however, report growth in Brazil and the U.S., as well as Japan, France, and Germany. Due to lower volumes, revenues declined to 410 million euros in the second quarter. However, our EBIT at Motorrad at the end of the quarter was still higher at 48 million euros. In the second half of the year, we expect to see an upward trend with the market launch of the new BMW scooter models and the new Husqvarna models the TR650 Strada and the TR650 Terra. This should have a corresponding impact on segment revenues and earnings. Ladies and gentlemen, we remain cautiously optimistic about the second half of the year. The BMW Group has a young and attractive model lineup on the market. We expect sales to receive a further boost in the second half of 2012. Attractive new models like the new 7 Series Sedan, the 3 Series Touring, and the 3 Series Sedan with xDrive will strengthen our sales volumes. The revised X1 will be coming onto the US market, and locally produced X1 models and the 3 Series Sedan long wheelbase version will be in the showrooms in China then. We will benefit from this attractive product momentum over the coming month. The BMW Group is preparing intensively for the future. The upcoming BMW i models will revolutionize automotive engineering and the industry as we know it. This year, as previously announced, we will be making major upfront investments of an additional roughly 1 billion euros. We have the financial strength to shoulder these investments in the future. The economic environment may worsen further in the second half of the year. In particular, we recognize two risks, a further weakening situation in Europe, as well as potentially slower growth in China. Both could increase competition. Volatility in the markets is expected to remain high. For that reason, we remain cautious and continue to monitor developments. If conditions change more than anticipated, we have the flexibility to respond. At the same time, even with countermeasures, we cannot completely rule out a possible negative impact on earnings. Assuming conditions do not worsen significantly, we are maintaining our guidance and targeting record sales for all three premium brands. We are aiming for higher year-on-year earnings at group level and in the automotive segment. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment should be at the upper end of our 8-10% target range. We also intend to achieve returns on this scale on a sustained basis and hence beyond the year 2012. However, depending on political and economic developments, the actual EBIT margin could end up being above or below the targeted range. We expect to see a positive business development in the financial services segment despite higher volatility. Our contract portfolio should continue to grow. We are targeting a return on equity of more than 18%. We will maintain our solid forward-looking financial management, focusing the BMW Group on long-term profitability and growth. The key objectives of our corporate strategy define the guidelines for our ongoing business development. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'd be glad to take your questions. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. We've now got time to take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues to provide the necessary technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to pose a question, please press the keys 0 and 1. Your questions will then be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, please ask your questions using the receiver of your phone. The first question, please. The first question, Dorothy Jumper, Bloomberg News. Good morning. Perhaps there's a certain... The share price wasn't that good. Could you respond to that? Second question, the problematic regions of China and Europe have already been mentioned. How concerned are you about developments there, or how dark are the clouds on the sky? Europe in terms of price and demand, and in China, slowing growth. And then Mr. Aichina mentioned an increased risk precautions due to higher risks concerning residual values, but he didn't quantify this. And as a whole, well, I started talking about the capital market and that was more, they were disappointed, but hidden in your report was the fact that you are expecting a higher global growth rate of 5.6% now, which was 4% before. Perhaps you could comment on that as well. Thank you. Okay, Mrs. Champa, in one question you actually hid four questions, if I saw that correctly. Let's begin with Dr. Aihina on the share price increased risk or precautions, and then Dr. Reithofer on China and Europe and on the growth rates. Dr. Aihina? Well, on the operative side, I cannot really comprehend that we've actually got reduced profits. I mean, you have to look behind the figures. As you've just heard in my speech, we had a considerable one-off effect in the first half of last year of a total of 524 million euros. This was about provisions for residual values that we had made during the crisis, which we had to bring back, and this has nothing to do with our operative performance. So, of course, the basis for the comparison changes too, and that's what I said. If we want to choose a fair buy basis, namely if we want to assess the operative performance of the company and take out these one-off effects, then the result is above that of the previous year, and it's absolutely according to plan, and it meets our expectations, and we confirmed our guidance. I think you can relativize that here. At a first glance, it may look different, but if you look properly, then you're able to recognize that. That was the first. And the second thing, the question about risk provisions. Well, certain developments in Southern Europe were already coming up last year, and in the fourth quarter, the risk provisions specifically for the Southern European markets were increased, anticipating the developments we're seeing now. Thank you. The second part of your question, China, Europe, and growth rates, Dr. Reithofer. Well, perhaps back on to the markets as a whole, we find that the automotive markets worldwide are still very heterogeneous. Drilling it down to individual regions, our outlook on matters is like this. In 2012, we expect a continuation of the growth trend in the emerging markets. For example, China, Russia. We're assuming that in 2012, BMW Group will continue to grow faster than the market. And we're also assuming that demand in Asia and America will increase, not quite as fast as before, but it will still increase strongly. That's my statement on China, Russia, and the emerging markets. In Europe, we find that demand, despite the challenges we're facing, is stable in Southern Europe, at least for BMW Group. And in my speech before, I said, Mr. Jumper, in the second half of the year, we will launch new models. Let me give you the examples once again. A long wheelbase version of the 3 Series that will be launched, the X1 in China, for example, that we've begun producing now in our plant in TG. Then important model for the European markets, with this, the BMW 3 Series Touring, the X1 and BMW 7 Series. They just received an update, and we assume that these cars will bring us further momentum in terms of growth in the second half of the year. And what's also important to us, something you often find in companies that work internationally, we are striving for balanced sales worldwide. If I can give you an example here, in the United States, we grew by around about 17%. In China, we grew by around about 17%. And in Germany, by around about 15 to 17%, just to give you an idea of growth rates in the most important markets. And at this point, let me repeat. I'm sorry, this is percentage, not growth rates. I'm sorry. I meant market share, of course. Now, the global economic environment, we find that the global economic environment, in view of the euro crisis and indebtedness of some countries, of course, can have a negative impact on the second quarter or the second half of the year. And let me emphasize also, in the BMW Group, in the last years, we have always taken a very realistic view of things. I must say, we will continue to do so. Now, the way we see Europe and other important markets, and let me also emphasize at this point, under difficult market conditions, mainly in Southern Europe, we have an EBIT margin of 11.6% in the automotive segment, and that really proves the performance and the capabilities of the BMW Group. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question, Thomas Fromm, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Good morning, gentlemen. Dr. Reithofer, you just made a pleading in favor of saving the euro. How far would you go? As far as Mario Draghi, the ECB head, who, I mean, there seems to be quite a dispute about this among politicians. Where would you position yourself here? And it was criticized that German manufacturers who build large cars now have a disadvantage in calculating CO2 values compared to volume producers. Do you see that in a similar way? Are you at a disadvantage as a German manufacturer? And do you see a reason to have an influence or change these decisions? And my third question, in the event that the crisis worsens, is short-time working an option the way that's already happened a couple of years ago? Thank you, Mr. Fromm. Dr. Reithofer. No, Mr. Fromm, well, you see, I'm hesitating. With the Eurozone, you're asking a very challenging question, to put it that way. Let me put it that way. That's my personal opinion. Saving the euro is something that must not go to the detriment of the competitiveness of the industry. The stability of the currency should remain the topmost target of fiscal policy. This is what I'd like to say to start with, and that answers part of your first question. Now, we are still of the opinion, looking at the 17 euro states and seeing that those states are one currency area for us. This currency area increases our home market in Germany. It allows those 17 euro states to be our home market because there is no fluctuation between different currencies to be taken into account and so on. And if we now bear in mind, if a eurozone were to no longer exist, then Deutschmark potentially introduced would be drastically increased in value. That would not only affect our currency compared to the 16 currencies of the 16 other now euro countries, but also compared to renminbi, the dollar, and so on. And we do believe that this is something we would feel here in Germany. It would result in a decline in exports. And over the past 2 to 3 years, export was a main driver for the economic development in Germany, and we think that's quite a realistic picture. You just heard what I said before. Saving the euro must not go to the detriment of the competitiveness of the industry, and we too believe that currency stability should be the highest aim of fiscal policy, but my pleading here is, I mean, I'm in favor of maintaining the eurozone because this is our internal market. This is our internal market. Second point, the plans of the European Commission regarding CO2. I think the BMW Group, we've got this target of 95 grams per kilometer. This is something we're not calling into question. And we have made a commitment to fulfill this obligation. And to us, that also means that penalty payments are not an option for the BMW Group. Now, concerning the proposals of the EU Commission, well, the proposals put German premium manufacturers at a disadvantage. And what's more important, they do not provide any incentives for introducing alternative drive systems faster or other innovations. I mean, we look at all this under the aspect of environment, and if we're saying this is mainly environmental targets we're looking at, then such a new commission proposal would have to set incentives for introducing alternative drives more quickly or other innovations. And therefore, we, together with the various associations, VDA and others, we want to see an improvement of this commission proposal. And over the next month, of course, we're hoping that something can be achieved in talks and negotiations. I hope I have made myself clear enough. And if you're looking at the second quarter, Mr. Fromm, and if you look at our annual report more closely, or business report, you will find that development efforts in the second quarter were on a clear upward trend, Mr. Eichinger. I can give you the figure, but I think it was more than 300 million in the first, that's in the first 6 months, more than 300 million euros more development expenses. And this is also due to the fact that we're now preparing for the future in order to achieve those targets in 2020. And, Mr. Fromm, this is how it will go. And this is why we always set ourselves a target of 8 to 10% EBIT margin in automotive and not 10 to 14. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Short-time labor, short-time working was an issue. Well, at the moment, that's not an issue for us. I mean, just take it easy. In the automotive segment, we've got an EBIT of about, where we've got 2 billion and a high EBIT margin. Please don't compare us to manufacturers who are currently not on the same level as we are. Thank you. Next question, Mr. Stefan Kronek, Börsen-Zeitung. Hello, I've got several questions. One is about your outlook. You emphasized several times, first 6 months you've got an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of 11.6%, but you're disappointing the market with a fairly low annual forecast with that range of 8 to 10% or upper end of 8 to 10%. Are you assuming that in the second half of the year the markets will decline, or will there be additional expenses that cause you to be so careful with your forecast and disappoint the market? The other thing is the planned BMW assembly plant in Brazil. What about that, Mr. Reithofer? You had already announced that a decision will be taken shortly. Nothing has happened so far. Who is it? Who's carrying out that feasibility study? Was that something you've commissioned internally, or is that a corporate auditor doing it? And then EBIT per sold car in China, what's the figure there for the first 6 months and for the second quarter? I myself have calculated by 60,000 to 70,000 euros per vehicle, but that's really quite high. Perhaps you can help me there. And then on the residual value risk due to recession in Southern Europe, do you have to make additional provisions here? Mr. Eichinger, you had already hinted at a few things. Could you perhaps give us specific figures? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kronik. We had 4 questions here. Let's begin with Brazil, Dr. Reithofer, and then Dr. Eichinger. Dr. Reithofer on Brazil, please. Well, Mr. Kronik, a clear answer to regarding this issue. We know the scope of investment. We know what a plant in Brazil would cost us. We had made all the plans and the individual production stages we need there. We have plans for everything. And if I may say so, we also have a certain place in mind that we want to go to. But up to today, the Brazilian government has not passed a law yet on how imported vehicles will be taxed. The decision on whether or not to build a new plant will be taken once we've got the detailed framework conditions and once we know that these will be positive for us. I mean, this is what you have to expect of an AG, of an incorporated company. We need a good business prospect, and we will make a decision when we know all the framework conditions and when we have calculated them. But let me tell you, the talks between us and the Brazilian officials are quite constructive. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichinger. Well, Mr. Kronek, back to your first question about the disappointment. In my opinion, you can only be disappointed if something comes up unexpectedly. I mean, we gave our guidance at the beginning of the year, and we're exactly maintaining it. And as we said, we're expecting earnings at the upper limit of our strategic corridor or target range. It wasn't possible to be any more clear about this because there's a lot of volatility out there. Now, we are fully confirming this statement. I would say we are absolutely on track, and you can only be disappointed if you speculate it, and I don't speculate. That's the first point. The second point is Where do we go from here? Why won't we provide a higher guidance for the margin? Well, there will be additional expenses. There's run-up expenses. We're talking about 1 billion euros for this year, which will be necessary in order to hedge future developments. We already said that at the beginning of the year. That's not a surprise, and it's coming just as we anticipated. And this is also what our guidance is based on, and it's supported by what we know today. Of course, we don't exactly know where we're going to end up, but we're quite confident. Otherwise, we would have changed our guidance. We will meet the target. And should that really not be the case, I mean, remember what the situation was in 2008 when in September everything broke down. If something like that were to come, then we'd have to change our guidance. But if not, then we assume that we'll be right on target. Now, back to China. 60,000 to 70,000 euros per vehicle, that's totally out of range. I would be very happy if that were the case, but please don't forget the high retail prices include taxes, customs, tariffs. All this has to be deducted. This is not what we're earning. All that will stays in China, and the earnings contribution is between 20% and 30%. This is what China does for us at the moment. Residual risks in Southern Europe, let me give you a figure here. Leasing portfolio is about 7% in those states, 7% of our overall portfolio. That's very small. This is why the amount burdened with a possible risk is not as high. As I said, we have already taken precautions in the fourth quarter of 2011. At the moment, the development is positive because we've got the greatest leasing portfolio in the U.S., and their business is going very well. We, in fact, had to reduce provisions even because we made profits with the sale of off-lease cars. So that's the situation there. And I think we're sufficiently well hedged. Can I get back to Mr. Eichiner's statement here? You'd mentioned speculation. I mean, this is not about speculation. It's about expectations. There were some analysts who expected that BMW would change its forecast for the EBIT margin in the automotive segment and increase it. Now, I wonder what can still happen given an EBIT margin of 11.6%. What can possibly happen in the second half of the year? What do you think might happen in the last 6 months of the year concerning an EBIT margin in the automotive segment? That would have to be clearly below 10% then. No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about the upper edge. I mean, a few base points more or less, I cannot really say. It's very difficult to make that forecast. But with our statement, we are giving a clear signal. We're just as confident as we were at the beginning of the year, and there will be record earnings compared to the previous year. The margin will be at the upper end of that range. I don't know exactly where. There is investments we have to make, about 1 billion, as I said, and most of this coming in the second half of the year. And of course, we're talking about an environment here in Europe that is difficult. And Europe, I mean, that's 48% of all our sales, of our retail. And there's pressure on the prices, there's competition, markets going down. We have to compensate for that. In the other market, we have to see how far that goes. Of course, there's volatility out there, but we have a strong portfolio. And again, second half of the year, due to seasonal effects, there's always slightly higher costs in the fourth quarter, especially. This is a general effect. We always have invoices coming for the end of the year and all that. So there is some seasonal effect as well. So in a nutshell, we're going to maintain our guidance. There will be a strong EBIT margin, but it will be at the upper end of the range. And whether that's 9.9 or 10.5 or whatever, that's something we simply can't tell you today. Now, back to the investments or expenses. Sorry, Mr. Chronik, I'm really sorry, but you know there are many who'd like to ask questions. I ask for your understanding. Thank you, Mr. Chronik. Next question, please.
Nicolas Doll, Die Welt.
Good morning from Berlin. I've got four brief additional questions. The first one, you said in some European markets. You are below last year's level. Could you be more detailed? Which markets are these? I mean, Greece, Portugal, that's only marginal, but are we talking about large, decisive markets? And how do you see the situation on the European market as a whole, which is so important to BMW? Because, I mean, the German market is very stable, but still here, many cars come on the market just with day registrations or discounts. Then you mentioned China. You see growth could slow down considerably there. Could you again tell us what the situation is? Why do you assume that there will be a weakening of growth in China? My third question, Mr. Reichner, how do you see the development of the global automotive market in the midterm as a whole? You had three very good years. I mean, you're a German premium manufacturer. Things went very well. Do you see some consolidation or slowing down of the boom from your point of view, assuming that sales figures worldwide will increase? And my last question, this is about the discussion with the Works Council about the temp workers. Allegedly, BMW announced that you'd be creating new jobs, permanent jobs. There's a figure, 3,200 or something. Perhaps you could say a little more than just tell us that you can't say anything about it. Thank you. Dr. Reithofer, please. Mr. Dold, I'd like to answer the last question first. The statement still holds true that we're currently working with employee representatives in order to come to an agreement on the overall flexibility of the company and the flexibility instruments associated with that. That means, I mean, this statement applies to both sides, Works Council and management. We're saying we want to have a flexibility kit, and in that, temp workers, they will only be one part of this model. That's important to both sides. And at this point, I mean, I emphasize, these talks have not been finalized yet. I can't say more about it. They're not finished yet. And once we have completed our negotiations, then you will get a statement from the company, and there has not been any such statement yet. I must say, the company has not given a statement on this yet. Now back to the markets. Let me begin in Europe, and let's together look at the first 6 months. Europe, as I said before, is still the region with the strongest sales for the company, and as a whole, with 437,338 automobiles, we remained on last year's level, minus 0.1% in Europe. And then looking at Germany, we had 142,158 BMW Group vehicles sold across all our brands, that is, and that represented a slight decline by 1.5%. Now, what happened especially in May and June was that due to anticipated model changes in some of the important models, for example, the 3 Series Touring, with it being so popular, we had impairment sales in Europe. The Touring is a very important model for Europe, and that will now gradually be introduced into the market. So that was due to a model change. Then in the second half of the year, let me say that as well, the new models and variants of the volume units, BMW 1 Series, the 3-door model, I've already mentioned the Touring, and also the revised model of the 7 Series and the X1 will be available. The new launch of the X1 in North America also. But back to the European markets. In the European markets, in some regions, we saw some growth, while in Southern Europe, we're still facing challenges. In Spain, to be specific, in the first 6 months, 19,195 vehicles were sold. This corresponds to a decline of around about 10%. In Italy, we also sold fewer vehicles than in the previous year, 33,534. That was a decline by 12.7%. In France, retail was minus 2.2% compared to the previous year. In the UK, one of our important markets in Europe, we had 480,870 vehicles sold, which was a slight increase. So Europe was also heterogeneous. But in countries such as Italy and Spain, we were on the decline. Now over to Asia. In Asia, BMW Group saw considerable growth and sold 238,731 vehicles, representing a growth of 25.6% in Asia in the first 6 months. In China, BMW Group also sold more cars. Since the beginning of the year, there was 159,358 vehicles sold. That's plus 30%. Well, as you can see from this, depending on which region you're looking at, you either have growth or decline. Now, just one word on Northern America. In the first year, 177,423 cars were sold to customers, representing plus 10.3%. And with the launch of the new BMW 3 Series four-wheel drive, as Mr. Eichen already said, in September, and the launch of the BMW X1 in the U.S., which had not been available there before, and from that, in the second half of the year, we're expecting, well, starting from September, we're expecting to see considerable growth in the U.S. So just to give you an idea of what the various markets look like, okay, there's one question open. Decrease of growth rates in China, current situation, Mr. Eichener. Well, the Reichhof already mentioned this, 159,000 units, that's plus 31%. The total market is expected to grow by 7% to 13 million units. So there are still very high growth rates, but the growth rates as such are declining. This is, of course, due to a certain basis effect, and now the absolute value has reached quite some level already. There's 159,000 after 6 months already. On the other hand, there is a tangible slowing of economic momentum, as you will have realized, from 8-9%, we're now going to 6-7%. And the Chinese, of course, also feel the crisis in Europe because that's an important market for their sales. And on the other hand, the question is, well, how will the real estate market develop there? At the same time, we had a very conservative credit giving by banks. So in all, for the year, we're expecting growth of 20-25%. That means we're assuming a slight weakening of growth momentum due to those factors in the second half of the year. Okay. Dear colleagues, please take into account it's 10:52 now. If all goes well, we've still got time to take two questions. So next question, please. Ladies and gentlemen, please, only two more questions for the remaining session. Next question, Mr. Martin Prim, Münchner Merkur. Good morning. I have a question on the production in the Netherlands, Netcar. Can you say a little more about that? The second thing is temp workers were already mentioned earlier. Don't want to talk about that, but what about capacity utilization in your plants? Is there a plus on the time accounts of your workers, or is there a minus? What's the situation there? Okay, I'll pass that question to the former head of production and now CEO, Mr. Reithofer. Well, Mr. Brehm, let me start like this. In 2016, we wanted to achieve or to sell more than 2 million vehicles. And in order to achieve this goal, we need production capacities. We want to develop MINI further into the future, which also means that further MINI models require additional production capacities in the midterm that go beyond the maximum production capacity of the Oxford plant. Just the question was, how can we be as flexible as possible? And as you know, at Magna Steyr, they're currently building the MINI Countryman, the MINI Paceman, let's say, that will be launched soon, will also be produced at Magna Steyr. Another question for us is, where will we produce further MINI models? How do we need to extend MINI production in Europe to remain as flexible as possible? And therefore, we decided to commission a second contract producer, and that will be Netcar. With that, we've basically got two contract producers, Magna Steyr and Netcar, for our MINIs in Europe. We quite like that, especially in view of the flexibility we'd like to have in terms of production capacity. Then the capacity utilization of the plants, where we continue to have a high utilization of the capacities in our existing plants. We continue to have high utilization of capacities in Leipzig, Dingolfing, and Landshut. And we're currently discussing how we can achieve our midterm growth target, and how can we provide capacities and not reduce them. And let me emphasize here, short-time working is not an issue at all for us. Thank you, Mr. Brehm. Next question. The next question is by Ms. Preisinger from Reuters. I've got two small questions just. If you are in constructive talks in Brazil, are you still in parallel looking for a location in Mexico? And how about PSA, your joint venture? We heard you want to separate. What's the status there? Okay, let's begin with the PSA question, Dr. Eichiner, and then for further locations, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichiner, first of all, since General Motors has acquired shares in PSA, the framework conditions for the joint venture have changed. Both sides have come to that conclusion, and currently we are having intensive talks with them in order to define how we want to deal with the situation, but I assume that we will find a solution shortly, but we are right in the middle of this process. I can't really give any more information at this stage. Mr. Reithofer, please. Well, you asked whether Mexico could be a possible site. Let me tell you, in the context of our long-term production and growth strategy, we are regularly investigating various countries as possible locations for future production. And this is always done in the context of checking various scenarios without making specific decisions in favor of a certain location. Let me tell you, at the moment, there are no midterm plans to set up a plant in Mexico. Thank you, Mrs. Preisinger. Now a last question, please. Last question by Mrs. Vanessa Fuhrmann, Wall Street Journal. Good morning. Could you please tell us, does the weaker euro play a role for your development of revenues and earnings, and what do you expect for the second half of the year? Yes, that's the right question for the finance member of the board, Mr. Eichiner. Well, the euro did play a role in this, both for revenues as well as for earnings. In terms of earnings, I can say that now, after the first 6 months, it's a mid-range, three-digit million amount that we have on the positive side. And we assume that by the end of the year, there will be a mid to higher range three-digit amount, a positive amount, which we will be able to post. This is what we can say today. And as I said, revenues adjusted for currencies effects would have been lower. We're talking about around 5%. Okay. We are right in time. Colleagues, thank you for your interest in today's telephone call, and on behalf of BMW AG, we now wish you nice summer holidays. Stay safe and sound, and come back soon. Goodbye.